First Corinthians 3, verse 9.
Can you bring this coffee?
We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now that's a bad translation of husbandry. What it says is, you are God's garden. And you remember when we studied in the Song of Solomon, that great passage. It says, Song of Solomon 4:12, a garden is closed, is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now we are shut up to faith until a point in time. Now we don't know yet what faith is. We are God's garden enclosed. Enclosed means protected. That's why when a bride in the ancient Jewish ceremony wore the garland of flowers on her head, that symbolized that passage in Song of Solomon. We are a garden enclosed, a fountain sealed, a spring shut up. Understand? That's where we've been thus far. We haven't done anything. All we've done thus far is to learn what faith isn't. I mean, there's certain times a little program started, a little thing started, but we fundamentally haven't done anything because we are a garden enclosed, a fountain sealed, a spring shut up. You remember last we studied about, and it says then the next, you are God's building. Well, the word there is temple. But the only thing that's been laid thus far, just like in Haggai, the cornerstone of the temple has been laid. And that cornerstone is Jesus Christ. The only thing that's there is the altar. The altar where we lay our, we present ourselves a living sacrifice. Now watch. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. That's a biggie. Especially those of you who are going out. You have never seen me mad. Until I see one of you building with the wrong blocks on the foundation that's laid. For other foundation can no man lay than is that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Again, hear me. All of you have tried to build on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or some other things, brass, but wood, hay, and stubble. And you've done that automatically because of the high place activities. You've tried to bring into the foundation or bring into the body all of your preconceptions, all of your ideas and emotional impact of what things should be or shouldn't be. Some of you are still trying to bring them in. But every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, what fire are we talking about? Now, most of the time people think that when this scripture is quoted, it's talking about the fire on the day of judgment. But I'm telling you, we're in the day of judgment. The fire, in a very real sense, on the day of judgment, is the fire that burned the ashes. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, we don't know anything about that, fortunately. Any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now think about that a minute. You're saved by fire. Now go to Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, I've told you before, the scriptures declare it. But Jesus said of John the Baptist that this is Elijah. And I've told you before that the outworking of this body is the ministry of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. I'm not too sure there's any other. I mean, I'm not going to judge what somebody else is doing, but I don't think there's any other ministry except the ministry of Elijah. But that's a whole other world. And saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, God demands that you walk in a certain way. The word in Hebrew for walk is halak. And halak means doesn't just mean walk. It means that, but it means much more. And we talked about this last night. To walk means, it's the same as wind blows, therefore wind hollocks. A river, so you drop something, it falls. That's hollock. A river flows. That's hollock. In other words, to hollock, to walk, means that you are accomplishing that purpose for which you were created and no other. That's what it means to fulfill your office. That's what it truly means, that the desire of your heart is fulfilled. It's when you're walking. And that's why it says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for he was taken. Enoch is a picture of what your function is. That means Enoch walked, he accomplished, he was what he was intended to be. Now, the way you are constructed, you cannot walk with this if there is any self-consciousness. By the spiritual definition, if there is any self-consciousness, you are not walking, you are lame. You understand me? That's what it says. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The only way that I can preach to you in terms of the spirit of John the Baptist or the spirit of Elijah, and the only way you can speak to someone else is to never once address anything other than the fact that they must abandon themselves. But in the interesting process, everything in the universe tries to come and get you off the path. Including me. Do you understand me? Do you understand what it means? Our walk is simply to be what we are created to be. Now watch. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, and that's a terrible translation. What it says is, O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat, or necessary for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Or think not to say within yourselves, I am saved. Or think not even to say within yourselves, Jesus Christ is in me. Think not to say within yourselves, oh, but I'm just prophesying. Think not to say within yourselves any of the slightest even hint of self-justification. You understand me? Oh, I'm just following my impulse. If you justify yourself at any point, you're not in the state of repentance. By definition, then you are lame. Up to now, that's all right. You get lame, you get off the path and walk around. Walk with a crutch. Even have Reeboks on. Watch. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. God is able to raise of these stones whatever your point of justification of self is. Capisce? You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. In fact, remember I've told you, every time the word abomination is used in the scriptures, it's an indication of the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. You've given the ground back to the enemy. And the Antichrist is setting himself up in the temple of God. It's the automatic. And now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Hallelujah. And it's cast into the singular fire which is necessary for the burning of the ashes of the red heifer. And it's done without apology.
Didn't you say that you talked about the preparation and the ceremony of the burning, that people were encouraged to throw wood in the fire?
Oh yeah, make it hotter. Are you getting a mental picture of what's going on? Mm-hmm.
was it like a self-pruning or something that goes on and throws the sticks into the fire?
We're not just talking about self-pruning. We're talking about the Holy Spirit throwing a whole tree into the fire. It's no longer... Watch. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. You get buried. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And with fire. Now, what is the baptism of fire? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, we've got three baptisms talked about here. We've got the baptism of repentance, which is the baptism of John. Baptism of repentance simply means you get under, all that comes up is Jesus Christ. We have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whose singular function, is to rip your heart out, to tear the flesh. Understand me? That's why the baptism of the Holy Ghost exists. And we have the baptism of fire. And that purpose of that baptism of fire is to burn the ashes of the red heifer. Now, all three of them, Ephesians says there is one faith, one baptism. All three of them are the same baptism. But in typology, they are three different phenomena. So that we get an expanded viewpoint of what this thing called the walk really is.
It's not three-dimensional.
You understand me? There's a baptism of repentance, the baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, tear the flesh, and the baptism of fire, which burns everything for the preparation of the ashes of the red heifer. It burns the blood, it burns the skin, it burns the dung, it burns everything. It's only then, after you have experienced as a body the baptism of fire, the burning of the ashes of the red heifer, that out of your belly can flow rivers of living water. Because otherwise, the waters can't purify diddly squat. If you run around and try to let the waters flow out without the ashes, everything you touch and everything that has touched you with regard to the touching of a dead body is unclean, remains unclean, and will remain unclean throughout eternity. If there is the slightest hint of self-justification, that's the evidence that you haven't experienced the ashes of the red heifer. Therefore, your faith is in vain. Because you're trying to have the faith outside the camp. Now, this isn't anything different. Go to Isaiah 4. Well, before we go there, go to Matthew 20. Verse 20. We read this the other night, but since we've read this in light of the baptism of fire, let me see if you can see whether it makes more sense. 20:20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one in thy right hand and the other in thy left, in the kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, they meaning John and James, whoever, what was it, John and James? We are able. And he saith unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Now what is he talking about? He can only be talking about one thing. He has to be talking about the fullness of the water, the Holy Ghost, and fire. And he's saying, those are the three that you're baptized with.
What cup is he talking about? Is that the cup in the garden? And why is cup and baptism tied together?
Do we want to get into that?
Was he touched by fire in hell?
That's what he did in 3 days.
Is that what this is?
It's part of it.
So this is it. Let this cup pass. And then he went and drank.
I want to show you something else. Go to Luke 12. Look, verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? And what baptism is he talking about? About the baptism that he by definition has to share with us. Do you understand?
He's going through the baptism in time now in us.
Amen. That's the one he straightened. It's just like he said to his disciples, How long have I desired to eat this Passover with you? Because in all future, in all past Passovers, he had been eating the Passover with his own family. We know that from the law, right? The last one he ate with the disciples. And he's saying, How long have I longed to eat this Passover with you? And now he's saying to you tonight, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?
That's a wild.
Can you feel the longing of God? Can you feel your bullshit being burned? Can you feel it fading away when you experience His longing? He is the head of the body. You didn't cut the head off of the red heifer when it was burned. My sister, my spouse. I don't think I'm communicating.
You're saying there's no separation even in baptism.
Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you no. But rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, etc., etc., etc. You see now why the head of the cow had to be pointing in a certain direction but facing the Holy of Holies? That's the only way the Son can face. Now, I know you're going to get weird and say, well, he died once and once and for all. But I'm telling you that this is the experience. It's the experience in the same way of cloning. That if Jesus Christ, if you took a cell of your body, the DNA structure within that cell is able to produce an exact you. And with a slight alteration, it's able to produce a female you. Huh? It's one gene on that DNA spiral. Christ, by his birth, death, resurrection, and the shedding of his seed on your flesh, in effect, caused a unique phenomena to take place. And that is, he produced a sister of himself. Now, go to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. This letter was written 1,921 years ago. Can you imagine that? And listen to what he says. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds. Stimulate the mind of Christ by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles and the Lord of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own desires. Remember I told you last time we met that not one of you had discernment? Not one of you had ever experienced faith? All you have done thus far is to find out what all those things weren't. Because when this experience is manifested as a body, when the ashes are burned, you then never again once can judge yourself or judge based on your senses. You can no longer walk after your own desires. A new thing takes place. You've seen the vanity of everything else, including the religiosity that you thought was faith, you thought was discernment, you thought was all the religious garbage that you've all gone through, including what we think is the doctrine, which all you've done year after year after year is used for another instrument to justify your own righteousness. And knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers. What's a scoffer? A scoffer is someone who denies it's finished. Simple as that. Walking after their own desires and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Again, I've told you many times, you can check it in a freshman Greek, a better, much better translation of that. The reason of the scoffing is where is the evidence of his presence? That's the scoffing. How many times have you scoffed today? Where is the evidence of his presence? I don't feel it. Doesn't look like it's there. Where's the evidence of his presence? Some of you are oh so good at it. You get so sincere. Where's the evidence? Scoffing. For since the fathers fell asleep, the fathers of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abel even, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. If you never understand any other thing, understand this. From the sight, from the in the spirit, in the reality, in the anchor, the Lamb has been slain from before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. But from the senses, all things continue and will. That's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For people shall be marrying and giving. They'll just be doing their stuff. There will be no evidence. All things continue as they were. All things will continue as they were. Because God doesn't believe in dispensational theology. He doesn't believe in it. God has one covenant. For this they willingly are ignorant of. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's not talking about Noah's flood. The world didn't perish in Noah's flood. It's talking about the pre-Adamic flood. Everything flooded. Everything died. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, i.e. the ones for this point, this testing, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire. Why? God wants the red heifer burned. There's only been 7 red heifers. Just as there are only 7 days of the regular Feast of Tabernacles. And the 7 red heifers are all that could have been burned in any of time. We're about ready for the 8th one. And by us acquiescing and saying to the Father and understanding what the meaning of the burning of the red heifer is, we bring that, the 3 witnesses in heaven and the 3 witnesses in earth, and we connect. And we have a connection, just like the biggest spark you've ever seen when you take a positive and a negative electrical wire and put them together. The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. That means a garden enclosed, a fountain sealed. Are kept in store by the same word. By the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God isn't worried about punishing. God is worrying about opening the garden. God is worrying about having that belly of the bride outflow with rivers of living water. Again, I've told you something that you didn't, I don't claim to understand it, but the Talmud, the Zohar said there are 1,008 levels of existence.
I knew you were.
And in those 1,000, there's another level of existence that we can't even dream about. Get your minds off of sensory perception. Get your minds off of things of this world. And begin to understand that the ashes and the flowing is not for this world. It's for the Father. And God's been waiting for a heifer that's ready. And anybody that doesn't buy this, anybody that doesn't see it, God probably will wait a while. Because what? Because this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as it's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, time and everything that's within time is meaningless to the Father. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can you see how by this not your function is that your mind would be transfigured so that you would have the mind of Christ? So that you would be transformed, so you don't look, so your mind is no longer the mind of the Gentiles. So you stop playing sorcery. Some of you aren't buying this. Some of you think, oh, he's gone. I can feel it. But the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. You have to tonight come to this conclusion. Either I'm right about this point, or everything you've learned from me is bullshit. And if everything you've learned from me is bullshit, you better get out of here. This is a point in which there is absolutely no compromise. I am so sick and tired of fleshly ideas being foisted in the name of God. We have one vocation: to be transfigured. And to be transfigured, the fire has to start on the ashes of the red heifer. Nothing else matters in time and space. This is the capital of the universe. Not this universe, but universes you've never dreamed of. It's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not the way the world thinks of that. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and I'm here to tell you it could happen tonight. Because we're in that 30-day window I told you about. The trumpet could blow tonight. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, only for one point, one function. So the garden enclosed can be freed. So the fountain sealed can be loosed. That's why I'm so impatient with any other thing with you. With your little ideas about stuff. I don't care. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Conversation here is the same meaning as a way of life, or walk, halak. You understand? Old Testament, halak, New Testament, sometimes walk, sometimes conversation. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not new in time. We look for, we see through the veil of flesh, the new heaven coming down from above, the new Jerusalem prepared as a bride for her husband. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you might be found of him in peace. The absence of againstness. No more internal bullshit. No more opposing yourselves. You might be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, in them, of things, of these things, in which are some things hard to, I love that, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked. One error, one wicked. We've been studying the stars. And in that stars, there's only one thing going on. In this Torah, there's only one thing going on. In you as a vessel, there's only one thing going on. And that is that the usurper is trying to grab the crown. You're not in the picture. All your little plans aren't in the picture. It's only a battle between the seed of woman and the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent has resurrected himself from the dead and is masquerading as you. And he's trying to grab the crown of the seed of woman. And in some of you, he's come damn close. Forget your bullshit religion. You're not in the picture. As long as you've bought the lie, the one error, you're in the picture, you will always walk in deception. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, your own anchor. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
In 16, it says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, they wrestle with these things. Is it like, what does that mean? Does that mean like leaning on your own arm of understanding?
Yeah. They argue about words.
Take it away.
Make it a little extra argument.
Who gets cleansed when this happens?
Right. When the ashes.
So the destruction, the fire makes the ashes out of the heifer, and the heifer itself is cleansed. You know, you're talking about the water coming in after the ashes are there and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I had an image of, all this being the heifer.
Yeah, but the river's of living water.
You said it was for the Father, and that's what I was trying to...
Yeah, but I don't want to get into that, but I'll just say this. From every study of the scriptures I've made, from everything I know about, those waters of purification have nothing to do with this world.
You're talking about that something akin to that was working inside of me.
I was thinking about this yesterday, about how us being the heifer, the heifer and the ashes are the same. I mean, you don't add anything to them except fire.
Hyssop?
Well, and those three things.
Scarlet. Cedar.
We don't have to worry about those. Those are already provided.
It's God's business.
But the only thing that's different is the fire before you get this. It's just this cow, this weird thing, and this mystical ashes, and all that's different is the fire.
I just want you to get your minds out of this world.
Amen.
I mean, for too long you've been deceived because you've been thinking in religious terms about things to do in this world. We have nothing to do with that. We are not of the world.
This is the first time I ever heard that back through our obedience, bring it into time. That's the first time it ever meant anything. I mean, because the other day I was thinking, well, this is, that with the ashes of the red heifer, and we're gonna be poured out to sanctify all the people and all this stuff.
Maybe because you bring it back in.
Yeah.
You bring that which is in the spirit back into time. That's what causes the spots and wrinkles on the bride.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking tonight, though, I could know without understanding that's what something about that relationship between sister and brother of being the same that he desires.
Amen. How long has he been straightened for this baptism?
Is this like what allows Christ to enter the Holy of Holies and do all that stuff? So he won't be outside the camp? So
you're mixing your metaphors. Just think on this.
Mixing me up.
You mentioned the thing about the 1,008 or whatever it is of the universe. Just before you said that, what went on in here was the thing about when the mystery is complete, time will be no more, and when time is taken out, all of this will go into a black dot smaller than the eye can see, which is all I've ever heard of that. But as that, what causes that to happen is over here is an infinitely small dot of bright, white, pure light. But as that goes this way, the darkness goes that way, and the darkness that is in us is dispelled by the light, and it's the new...
Yeah, that'll be sure to be safe.
Harry, you farting in Bible study again.
Oh, come on.
Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, my job is to make the three there and the three here agree in one and get whacked, touch.
I was thinking earlier today about, I listened to an old Bananas tape a while back, one of the early Abraham things about when he was going up to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, and the demon Samael came against him and was telling him all this stuff. It's like...
But the demon came and disguised as an old man.
Right.
And the old man was his mind.
Right.
Okay.
And... But I mean, the point is, it's like, from appearances, I mean, you know, it's like any time you step back into that realm of appearances, judging after appearances, you're
mocker.
Yeah, because you won't see correctly. I mean, it'll automatically not look right because you're judging after appearances, and you've got, I mean, that's beginning to give the ground back. But you know, it's the opposite of what you're talking about.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit.
Amen. That's all I do is judge after senses. I mean, I don't think I know what it's like to not do that.
Just, I have to know, is it? I haven't gotten you anything. I don't feel like talking anymore. I've had too much. Take it, big guy.
Too mellow.
We always enjoy your lips.
You still preaching?